Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at GraniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey.
I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-za, ba-do-za.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore.
Pizza time.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners. He has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show.
Step inside. Walk this way. You and me, babe. Hey, hey! Love is like a bomb, baby. Come on, get it on. Living like a lover with a red eye on. Looking like a tramp, like a video man. Demolition woman, can be a man. Yeah. Rattling, rattling, a little light.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program, Town Fair Tire Studios, 617-779-0985. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv in the Twitch app. And why would he? It's constant action here in the studio. You're not getting it all just by listening. There's so much more going on. The theatrics in here are really hard to explain. You just got to see them for yourself. And here we are. As the summer rolls on, as we have people go to take their vacations over the 4th of July. Now, John, where are you going?
Going up to Maine to see my dad over the 4th of July.
Well, that's not bad. That's no trip to your in-laws.
No, that comes in August. We go to the shore, the Jersey Shore in August.
So your vacations this year are your father's house in Maine and then the Jersey Shore.
Yes.
Your in-laws.
July and August, yes.
When do you start making your own way in life and start paying for your own family's vacations?
I know. Well, my problem is, and my wife's problem too, is that we have no family that live anywhere near us. So when we do get time off, they want to see us. So that's when we go.
Come to us. We said that years ago.
I know.
Like we'll do like every other year. Maybe we'll see you, but come see us. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, at some point you're not a slave to your family. Like I that was probably one of the most liberating decisions I ever made was that we'll see you once every 2 years, maybe every 3 years. But the rest of it, you can make a commitment to travel
well,
to see us.
Well, we cut out that trip out to the West Coast. My mother lives in Seattle. Now she comes to us.
Okay,
we see
good.
Now, it's been a while, obviously, because of COVID, but, I forgot, we have a trip to Vermont. We have a trip to Vermont to meet my mother and my sister who lives in Europe.
Now, who pays for the hotel?
They do. They
okay,
do.
So you...
My mother is paying for this.
So you have no... Because I'm going to Tennessee twice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going for 2 weeks the end of the July, and then I'm going for a week at the end of August, and I don't have to pay for that. But I have taken two trips, of which I paid.
Mm-hmm.
But for you...
Yep.
Everything's on the arm.
It would seem so, yes.
Even though you remain well into your 50s.
Yes.
Everything is still on the arm for the Wallach.
I said my mother lives on the West Coast, my sister lives in Europe, and they're willing to meet us in halfway between the two of them, happens to be New England. So they're coming to us.
All right.
Well, listen, it must be nice to have everything taken care of for you like that.
Mm-hmm.
You see, like when my mother visits us, I pay for her to come up.
I don't have that. No.
See, it's like I feel like Mary's mom's coming up. I'm paying for her to come up. Like
yep.
You fly her up. And
yeah,
sure.
My parents wouldn't let me do that.
And give them a place to stay. You know, that's kind of what we do. Maybe that's the payoff for not having to fly and visit them constantly. It's like, all right, if you come up, then you know I'll fly you up.
Mm.
So. Not a ton of money saved in the family.
I think the trip to Disney World with the kids will be next summer.
So you have not flown in how long?
Oh God, I think it's a year ago February, and that was for a Celtics game.
And you won't fly, and you haven't flown this year. You will not have flown this year.
It does not appear that way. No.
And then, oh my goodness, you're going to
develop. It's been a while.
You're going to develop quite a panic when it comes to flying.
I hate the whole process of going to the airport and travel day anyway. So all this time off will probably make me a little jumpy.
What do you hate about it? Because I mean, I know that that's obviously a thing that a lot of people have, but I mean, a lot of the anxiety can be lowered by just getting there early.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
I know.
That's the anxiety. The anxiety I think for me is making sure we get to the airport on time for the flight. You know, I hate the waiting in line at security. That stuff kind of gets to me a little bit.
Are you TSA?
What do you mean?
Do you have a TSA like pre-check?
No, I do not.
Oh,
well, you got to get.
You
got
to get.
I don't have the fast pass.
It doesn't really matter in Boston, but it helps other places.
Oh no, it does. There's certain airlines or certain gates that are. I mean, sometimes that Delta one, although they've done a pretty good job with
that's,
the
that's
Delta
the pass-
one's done pretty good.
Logan's a joke. It's never bad.
That's the passing lane on the left side of the security line.
Yeah,
you walk
right through. It's the fast pass.
That.
It takes you one afternoon to go to this office and like you have to fill out this questionnaire and answer a couple questions.
Office Depot. You can go to the Office Depot in Brighton.
Oh, you can do that now?
By the old station.
There's a place by the seaport where I go, like that's downtown. But, I mean, that's awesome. You can do. I know you can do it Office Depot now.
Jay, go ahead.
Hey, Johnny.
Yo.
Mr. Waldy.
Yes.
Dude, are you looking for a place to stay in Vermont?
Where?
Hotel Burlington, maybe. No, Hotel Vermont. That's it. Hotel Vermont and Burlington.
That's the Fish's version of Hotel California. It's the hotel that they beg you to stay, but you always want to leave.
That is a long-ass trip to Burlington, Vermont, also. Man. That's a long trip.
Hey, go see Champ, the underwater dinosaur.
What's that?
Oh, you don't know Champ?
I'm never going to go to Vermont
never
in my
heard
life.
That.
Champ is, Lake Champlain up there? We have our own version of it's the New England's version of the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, good.
Yeah, Champ. Everyone sees it up there. Maybe that's the guy that, you know.
He goes,
it's like the Rhode Island Sea Monster.
All right.
But it's a big deal. You go there, you can buy like Champ t-shirts. They got like Champ pennants. You
when
know,
were
go
you
Champ.
There? When did you drive all the way out there?
Well, I mean, I go up to like Waterbury and Stowe a decent amount. There's good skiing up there. But
the trip in 50 below zero. I remember that.
Yeah. But Burlington, like downtown's kind of dirty. Like that's a dirty town. Like it's
a bunch of hippies.
It's you're not joking. Like Burlington really does have, and it's like kind of the crusty hippies, the ones that don't really have places to go.
You go to eat out in Burlington, it's obvious.
Yeah,
you sit down at a table, you look around like oh,
like Waterbury's nice. Like Waterbury's like a small little town, and that's very clean. It's nice and whatever. Burlington's a dirty town.
Yeah, I would have to go to 49 states, and then just for the sake of being able to say I've been to all 50 states, then I would go to Vermont.
All you gotta do is just go like where I'm staying. It's just over the border. It's on the it's on the New Hampshire Vermont border.
Never. Now it's a point of pride. I don't ever see going up that high anyway. Like, I don't, why would I ever go up that high in New England? I'm never going to go that high in New Hampshire.
If you don't ski, yeah, if you don't ski, then no, there's not a ton of reason.
The skiing thing is come and gone. All right, this is interesting. Eric, you were in Salt Lake City, Utah.
Yes, I am, but I did grow up in Vermont, and I will never go back.
Yeah.
Never. I cut my teeth there, but enough porcupines, enough bears, enough mosquitoes, enough no people. I agree with you 100%. Nope, I've seen the leaves change. No more.
And you saw the leaves change in August, which is nice. They got to get that out of the way quickly. You have a question about the time I was sued by another radio host.
Yes, I did, because I remember you mentioning it, and so I did. I actually read the whole thing.
Now, did you read the verdict from the court that said that it was, because what Rich found, what someone sent Rich was the court saying that they weren't going to throw it away, or did you read the actual lawsuit?
Yes, I read the lawsuit where you, the defendant, were denied.
Yes, okay, because that's not that's not his lawsuit, that's just the court explaining why they wouldn't throw it out.
Correct. The only one I could find was just that one part. And so my comment of it is that it was so fun seeing the Atlanta part, having to decide slander per se and slander per quad, you know, over the term Captain Back Acne.
Yes.
That was...
Listen, please find the original lawsuit. At least someone will get some entertainment out of it, is my opinion on the whole thing. It cost me a pretty penny. Nothing that makes me look bad, but yes, go ahead. You can question. Words in there that you're not supposed to say anymore. So go ahead. All right, go ahead. Yes. All right.
The question I have is, whatever this film that he made that you were screening in Atlanta, I got to find it. If you know where to find it, I would love to find it.
Well, HBO Max? No, I don't. You can read the reviews on Amazon. It's a real hit. But I actually don't know where to find it. It may be on YouTube. There's a bunch of stuff he's done on YouTube if you want to see his forays into his television show, High Rise, was on YouTube.
How much do you think, because that movie had Corey Feldman in it, how much do you
think... And Jeff Fahey and...
Of the Lawnmower Man
and
fame?
Michael Damon. But Fahey did Lost after that.
Yeah, he did. He did, yeah.
So, like, he... And so
but Fahey was, like the 19th character on Lost.
But I'll say this, is that, like, listen, Corey Feldman sucks, and he's a joke. But 20 years ago...
Corey Feldman sucked and was a joke.
But you still had to pay.
Well, see, that's what my question was. How much do you think it cost in... What year was that? 2001, how much do you think it cost to get Corey Feldman to be in your film in 2001?
$100,000.
Wow, you think that much?
To fly to do an independent film in Atlanta and to fly in. I might be off by $10,000 or something, but it's certainly...
I saw Corey Feldman play at a bar here. Actually, not here. It was near the border of New Hampshire, someplace called the Whiskey Barrel. It was in Haverhill. And he had maybe 30 people see him paying $10 each.
But that's
and
him,
he did that.
But that's him touring with a band, doing something that, you know, his music and trying to grow it organically and doing his thing.
You don't think if somebody said to Corey Feldman right now, I'll fly you out, put you in a hotel, and for 3 days' work, I'll pay you $5,000, he wouldn't do it?
I don't think he'd do it. No. He's got a lot of money still, probably. Like, money to live on. We're not talking about right now. We're talking about Feldman was probably in his early, probably late 30s.
Mm-hmm.
So you call his agent and you say, and he probably still has representation at that time.
He was a guest in the studio for his band back then, which nobody wanted to see.
Yeah, well, no one ever wanted to see the band. And I'm not, listen, I'm not saying he's a talent or that he's relevant.
I think I would be shocked at how little you could get him for.
I think that but getting him to do it, yeah, all right, then 50 grand is as low as I'll go.
Oh, you see, I would still even go less than that. I would say realistically they paid him 10 grand for 3 days' work. Corey Feldman.
I don't know how much actors get paid.
How much do you think he gets paid for cameo?
He probably charges a lot. I would say he probably charges like $400.
Less.
$100.
$222 for some reason.
Well, that's probably magic numbers in his world. Yes. All I know is that making that movie wasn't cheap. And if he self-financed it in on a radio DJ salary, God bless him, because I don't know how he did it. All I know is making a movie is expensive.
Yeah.
And like in trying to make a real movie and hiring real actors in a union, in union guys, and all that stuff is not cheap. And whatever it is to get, whatever your relationship is, he probably made friends with Corey Feldman or something. Maybe he did get him on the cheap.
I have a feeling that there were some promises made, or there was some sort of like, you know, back way of getting him to be in his film.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the guy who made the film was an extra in Remember the Titans, if you get the DVD. And get the extras.
Because he was not in the actual movie. No, and I remember, like, he talked it up, and then when the movie came out, he got all excited and went to the screening to go see it. And when he found out he didn't make the final cut, that was not a good day.
Oh, did he address it on the... There's no way he addressed not being on the air.
No, but his co-host did.
Okay. Oh, boy.
Yeah, because he's not the kind of guy that would have had a good, you know... knock on himself. He wouldn't have come on the air and said, like, I'm a jackass. I wasn't in the
movie. Right. He would have said, I'm so bad I couldn't even make the final cut. Yeah, like, I was an extra.
He would have not had any fun with it. He would have, that's not something that he, knowing his personality, I would guess that he would do.
Although he did have a speaking part.
Yeah, that didn't make the film. I mean, it was. I dated a girl that was in Road Trip. If you got the DVD and watch the extras.
You see, that's...
And she didn't run around saying, I'm in Road Trip.
See, that's why you can't... That's why you can't go around like saying, oh, get ready. I'm going to be a star. And then the movie comes out and everyone goes to see it. Like, I thought you were in this movie. Yeah.
Yeah, I sat through this movie. Like, where the hell were you? And what's funny is, even if they kept that scene in the movie, like, you still would have been like, okay... Like, big deal. Like, you're on the radio and everything.
Oh, that's kind of cool. If you had a speaking part in a Denzel Washington movie, that's pretty cool.
No, like, I know, but not if you're...
Like, I would like that. Like, no, that'd be neat.
If you or I did it, it would be cool.
Yeah.
But the way we would frame and thought about ourselves is a lot different.
I want to be in one of the Spencer sequels that's coming out with Mark Wahlberg.
Don't hold your breath for it to happen.
His deal was that he was going to be a big-time movie star, and he behaved like he was a big-time movie star. So you and I. I mean, you and I were thrilled to be an Assy McGee.
Still am.
Yeah. I mean, it's different. It's totally different. I mean, we've no visions on being Hollywood elite or pretend that we are or on our way to being such.
I found a website where you can hire Corey Feldman for a public speaking engagement. So I don't know what...
How much is that?
You see, I'm trying... Oh, it's one of the things we have to fill out a form. Yeah, it's Celebrity Talent International. Oh, hang on. Minimum fee, $7,500.
Okay.
So for 70, according to this, I'm sure you can negotiate.
Yeah. But say it's 7,500 now, and that's for an hour. So, I mean, I might not be far off. 100 grand might be real high, but 50,000... Who knows? Remember he was real good friend. Remember they were all obsessed with that dude from Remember the Titans?
Kit Pardew.
Like he was
Sunshine. Wasn't that his name?
Yeah. No one got more mileage off of that than Kit Pardew. Was a nice guy and everything, but I mean he was everywhere and you'd be like, what the hell is this guy doing everywhere? Oh no, Barnes keeping him at arms. He's keeping him close just in case that's dying. Now, was Kit Pardew ever in anything else?
Yeah, he was in actually a pretty good movie called Rules of Engagement. I think that was a Roger Avery movie, the guy who wrote Pulp Fiction. He was pretty good in it.
Rules of Engagement, is that the...
It might be called Rules of Engagement, but it was the movie that the guy from Pulp Fiction made with Jessica Biel in it.
But it was long
ago. Rules of Attraction, I think.
Rules of Attraction, yeah, that's a Bret Easton Ellis.
He was in a movie with Sylvester Stallone called Driven, a car racing movie.
Oh, he was
the young kid
that Stallone mentored. So I remember that.
So when I got to the 99X in Atlanta, the movie stars that were being the stars that they had hitched their wagon to were Sean Mullins, Kit Pardew, the tennis twin brother guys.
And the fat guy from Varsity
the
Blues.
The fat guy. Well, that was a little before me, but yes, the fat guy from Varsity. He had already moved on.
And
but,
he had lost all of his weight. I think he passed away. Rest in peace.
Yeah, yes, yeah. He is dead. The fat guy from Varsity Blues, Cowboy Mouth. I mean, a real, real collection of losers.
Evan and Jaren?
Evan and Jaren,
oh, yeah. Well,
crazy
Jimmy,
I will
give you, Jimmy's like actually friends with them. Like they do like Jewish stuff together. Like, every time we were in LA, like he would disappear on Friday to go to Evan and Jaren's to,
what's it called?
I think Evan and Jaren played his kid's bar mitzvah.
They played his wedding. I know that.
So he's legitimately friends with them.
Yeah, they're like buddies.
So he was mystified by Billy Jaffe, but Atlanta on one of the biggest stations, rock stations in the country, and those morons hitched their wagons to that sack of losers. Oof. I'll tell you. Not good. There was a hip hop star. You couldn't throw a pebble without hitting a hip hop star. If they just would have had their eyes open for 10 seconds and said, oh, maybe this guy, maybe Outkast. You know, maybe if I turned my attention to what was happening in my own backyard, because they started playing rap, but they started playing Black Eyed Peas. Like, at what point, like, would you have said, okay, there's this phenomenal amount of music coming from this area. Like, maybe if we could somehow associate with ourselves with just a fragment of it, just like the, like nothing Outkast did could have gotten played when you were playing like rap rock, and like nothing Outkast did could have been played. You know why? Because they were black. They wouldn't play them because they were black. It was too black an audience. Meanwhile, 60% of the city's black. They're all crazy.
I was a nobody, and I became friends with Ludacris. I mean, yes. it was easy to do. There were so many big name rappers everywhere in Atlanta. And it was strange that they just, you know,
they ignored it. They completely ignored it.
Although we did have Chuck D and what's his name, Professor Griff.
Oh, I had Professor Griff on every week.
Professor Griff would just come on and just say stuff that
I had him on every week. I had Professor Griff on every week. It was the greatest. He didn't believe in anything. He didn't believe anything happened. He didn't believe 9/11. Didn't believe the moon landing. Didn't believe anything. And he would come on, and we had him on once a week. And he would come in studio, and he would sit down. And people would call screaming
and
at him.
And just yell at him.
And he would sit there and he'd be very calm and just, yeah, no, it never happened. None of that happened. Like, none of it happened. And you'd be like, and it would be great. I really grew to dislike that audience. And anything I could do to needle them was very, very nice for me. They send you Bibles and everything else under the sun over there. They were so religious. Any chance I got to piss them off. I was always constantly in trouble over there. Constantly in trouble. All right. What's coming up, Rich?
Oh, the Celtics have found their man. We will get into who this gentleman is and why he's so important to the Celtics.
All right, we'll be
waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape and a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, yeah. And like, oh yeah.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And yesterday, Rich, the inevitable happened.
It's true. And just hours after right here on this show, we were asking if the Celtics reportedly knew who they wanted their next head coach, then was it taking so long? Apparently, just like every other person, they wanted to wait until we were off the air to make the announcement. Ime Udoka, that era begins in Boston, and the Celtics are finalizing an agreement as we speak with him. And as John said yesterday, this guy does seem to check all of the boxes of what the Celtics were looking for.
According to Jay Williams, he's the first black coach ever.
That was great. Now, did you see what he said afterwards?
So if you don't know, Jay Williams played at Duke and then got hurt. He's on ESPN, apparently. I say apparently because I don't know.
He tweeted this. He said, the first head coach of color for the Celtics. And even more importantly, he's one talented individual who has paid his dues. And, of course, you know, people were like, excuse me?
Then he said I didn't put it up. But
as it relates to the Boston Celtics tweet that came from my account a couple of hours ago, I did not post that, and my passcode has now been changed.
Okay, and so and some people were like, all right, well, he wasn't hacked. He probably has, like, and they put, a lot of people said this, because I did read the replies to that.
Okay.
Because, I mean, I had to. Because, sure. I mean, he obviously tweeted that.
Well, the best was, I think it was Michael Hurley who I saw tweet, or maybe it was Matt Dolliff, who tweeted back the picture of Tim Robinson in the hot dog outfit. Like, who could have possibly hijacked my account?
That's great. So, but people were speculating. They're like, well, rich guys have people running their accounts. I'm like, wait, Jay Williams is rich? Like, wait, you're under the assumption that he's under some media empire and he's just, like, wheeling and dealing with all these assistants everywhere? Like, no. Like, big comedians run their own accounts. Like, Jay Williams runs his own Twitter account.
It is remarkable. I mean, obviously.
But don't you like the idea? Because I'll tell you this. If Jay Williams has someone running his Twitter account,
right,
then I need to fire my agent immediately.
Yes.
Because who knows what he does. But what do you think? He's making $20 million a year on that thing?
He's calling up ESPN and said, hey, you know, I'm available.
Right. I'll do whatever you want me to do because I have no qualifications to do anything else. All right. So there you go. So he obviously put that out there, which I thought was symptomatic of
what people think of Boston.
No, and just the ignorance, like the whole Kyrie crap that you can just basically say anything you want.
Well, that's the deal.
But this guy analyzes one thing for a living. He analyzes basketball.
Right.
I mean, it's one thing.
I think that was one of those, Fred, where he wanted it to get all the likes and all the, you're absolutely right. Finally, they got themselves a black coach.
High five, baby. You're speaking out. That's right.
What a difficult thing to say, too. Like, oh, like, there's going to be a lot of blowback on the, like, them hiring a black coach. So, like everyone, no, they can't believe they hired a black guy. But, they had to. But the thing is this, is that, you have to focus on one thing in your entire life for professionally, and that's basketball. And you don't even know what I know, and I don't know anything. And so I know you don't know Casey Jones coached the Celtics. I mean, they were on TV every day.
There have been five or six.
No,
black
I know.
Coaches.
Well, yeah, Doc.
How about Bill just Ross, Doc Rivers? I mean, just like right.
ML Carr.
He might have been in the championship.
Jay Williams might have been in the league when Doc was coach.
Of all the things, it's like it wasn't like you had to go way back into the Rolodex.
No, I know.
I know.
Well, that's the thing. That's the thing too. It's not like even the Celtics would go like, oh well, look, in 1967, we had a coach.
Like you had a guy who won a championship a decade ago.
Just went into the Hall of Fame as a coach last month.
All right. The reason I bring that up, other than the humor of it, is that I think if you're gonna like take these stands, and in rightly so, in sometimes you can have a good point, but be from such a place of just vapid ignorance that it shows that you don't really even care what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like Jay Williams doesn't care that Celtics hired a black coach. So that's why when Kyrie can come out and just casually throw like some really broad statement out, everyone just kind of nods in agreement and goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, guess what? Your NBA analyst didn't even know that the Celtics have had black coaches. So get out of here with your massive concern and for the NBA and
black people in positions of leadership because you have not even educated yourself on it at all.
Well, that was one of the boxes, obviously, reportedly, that they had wanted to check, is that they did indeed want an African-American coach.
Good.
And on top of that, they also were looking for someone young. They got one, 43 years old, experienced, obviously an assistant with the Spurs for 7 seasons under Greg Popovich. And by the way, we should have immediately known that this was going to happen because, I mean, Brad idolizes Greg Popovich, and the feeling is mutual. So he also did 2 years in Philly, went to Brooklyn this past year.
Popovich has had an interesting life.
Yeah, he definitely has an interesting
life. Brad Stevens has lived the life of Tom Thibodeau, except he's married with children. That's the one difference.
And doesn't collect stamps. On top of that, he reportedly got the seal of approval from Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, who played for Udoka
on Team USA.
Does
that make you excited that they brought all three of them in on the decision?
Not excited about that, but as long as Jason Tatum is one of those names, that makes me feel good.
It's Tatum more than the other two.
Well, the fact that they asked the other two makes me think that Marcus Smart is part of their plan for the future.
Yeah, you see, I have a feeling just for the time being, they don't want to piss him off, so not bring him in?
Now,
by the way, good Team USA they were on.
They finished 7th at the FIBA World Cup that year.
That was one of the all-time disappointments. Yeah, that team sucked.
You should have known a little bit about the Celtics.
Tatum got hurt. He missed a lot of time in that.
Well, they would have won, considering he's not going to start for the team this summer.
That's true, too. He's not, but I was kind of surprised, too, that Smart was kind of thrown in there.
I was as well.
You figure Tatum and Brown are layups, but I was kind of surprised they brought Smart in because his spot just look at the writing on the wall. Very tenuous.
Well, I knew Tatum's obvious, and then Brown is outspoken on racial issues.
Brown's also somebody, if you can have him in your future, it would be great.
But,
I mean, he's somebody that I think that they believe, unless they get a great deal, he is going to be part of this team.
Or let me explain my thinking, is that Tatum's obvious, and then Brown is outspoken. He's involved in philanthropic work, and he's
one guy who spoke out against Kyrie's comments about Boston.
So you would, I think that out of respect for the guy, that you would, because he seems to be the only guy who actually knows what he's talking about, you would bring him in and go, all right, here's my decision making. I know you feel very strongly about this topic. How do you feel about this guy? Now that I understand that Marcus Smart, I would just be like, who cares?
I think it's almost
if you don't
like
it, get out of here.
But even if you're not going to trade him for a while, like even if you're going to wait a little bit to trade him, it's almost, if you leave him out, you've just pissed him off. Then you got to deal with a guy for a couple of months or however long it is until you end up trading him. So you bring him in. Why not? What does it hurt? Bring in Marcus Smart.
Just that it was public.
It's the path of least resistance, I think, for the Celtics, if they still want to trade him.
Well, and the other part of it is, and I was listening to Jeff Goodman, who was on TV last night, a guy who's been on this show multiple times, and he says he's a lot like Brad. Udoka's a lot like Brad Stevens. He likes the preparation. He likes to grind away. He likes the day-to-day in and day-out aspect of this, like Brad does.
Yeah.
So that's another thing. They're familiar with this each other, obviously. There's the FIBA World Cup connection. He's young. He's African-American. He's the guy. Now, you can argue as we move along this winter whether or not this is the right move to make, but this is the direction the Celtics clearly have.
Well, let's take a break because when we get back, we've learned a few things about Ime Udoka that you said that Popovich is a fairly interesting person. This guy's got some background stuff that is jumps off the page. Dude's kind of a badass.
Well, he's engaged to the chick from
Big Mama's House.
No.
And Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Mia Long.
She was on the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
She was. 4 seasons. I like checked the IMDb this morning because I'm like, where do I know Nia Long?
And she was on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, for 4 seasons.
Okay.
Who'd she play?
I never watched the show.
He dated Tyra Banks in college on the show.
He dated her. I knew they ran into each other.
Well, there was a Sam and Diane. She needed to work at the school store in order to stay at school, and she didn't and here came Will Smith with his Bel Air money,
right?
And but he still tried to represent West Philadelphia, but she wasn't having that.
Lisa Wilkes.
Well, I mean,
she played Lisa Wilkes.
Okay,
maybe she was the love interest of 4 seasons. How many episodes?
Actually, she was in 16 episodes.
No.
She also played. Well, she played 2 characters. She played Claudia Prescott as well.
Well, maybe that was the twins.
There you go.
When there was the twin phenomenon going on, Yeah, 16 episodes. That's a very sporadic. I mean, come on, that's a 23.
It's not even
23
an,
episode.
Not even
run.
An arc. That's just kind of like
that might be yeah. a arc. Yeah, I don't recall her on that show, but she was in. Was she in
Boys in the Hood?
Boys in the Hood.
Yep. Yes,
she and was, she did The Best Man, if I remember correctly, with Taye Diggs.
Taye Diggs is a good-looking man. Yep.
Well, that's why you know John saw The Best Man. Because that's his wheelhouse. That's who he longs to be. All right, here are the headlines.
Granite City Electric Supply is proud to be celebrating 100 years of service in New England. With over 30 branches serving electrical contractors and their exclusive GCE Night Train overnight delivery, they've built their business on enduring relationships and delivering your supplies. More importantly, Granite City Electric customers always have access to over $50 million of local inventory at the click of a mouse at graniteCityElectric.com. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? No match for a little DIY duct tape. Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... Ah, dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Ah! On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
They get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think he really saw Ime Udoka separate himself pretty quickly from what was a very good field. The kind of leader he wanted, certainly... his pedigree in San Antonio, Philly, and Brooklyn. Having coached a lot of elite players in the league, reputation for being able to build relationships with them, hold them accountable, and just tactically a very sound coach.
I didn't hear what he was saying until that sweet, sweet music came in.
That's how they just jam it in. You gotta listen. We got sweet grooves.
Like, I'm getting bored. Talk, 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 talk. And then all of a sudden, in comes the music, and you go, yeah.
I imagine like a little digital timer. Every 15 seconds, we need sweet grooves. It's the sweet groove timer. And so if like people are going to tune out. We've done enough testing that after 15 seconds, they just start looking the other way. But you put in a little, like, you know, bass and drum. Boom, doo, boom. People go, whoa, wowie zowie, what is this awesome tune shooting out of my television?
So Bristol, Connecticut, like I know people who work for ESPN. I grew up with a couple people, and they, and so Bristol is an odd place because now for a couple generations, it's all ESPN employees, and they're all, for the most part, the non-on-air people, savagely unattractive. So they've been breeding with each other for now two generations.
But hasn't there kind of like been, you know, two negatives make a positive? Isn't there kind of a thing
where
very ugly
happen.
People get together, they shoot out of a good looking?
Rarely
does that happen.
No. Quite the contrary.
Okay. The ugliness just grows exponentially.
Yeah. Because you don't have like in a major city, like something cutting into it. So you have like the ugliest people from all over the Northeast.
Yeah,
I mean, you take
been isolated for generations.
You take every ugly kid from Syracuse and you push him into Bristol.
And it's just Chudtown, USA.
Oh yeah, it's an ugly.
You go from one isolated place in New York to another isolated place in Connecticut. Like, that's all they know.
This part of town where the Chuds live, this part of town where the Gumps live, and they all live in harmony together at ESPN.
Yep. Yeah. So it's like really like it's it, and then and now the last breeding. The first breeding is now bred with each other, so now there's this second, now we're in the third breeding of ugly coming out of Bristol, Connecticut. Not an attractive place.
No, doesn't seem like it.
No,
well,
very ugly.
So this was yesterday when they were talking to people about why Ime Udoka would be a good coach. Jackie McMullen, who obviously is very plugged in, she said that the one good thing about him is that he's not afraid of being tough on players when he needs to be.
He's a great fit with Brad Stevens. When I think about Brad Stevens, I think of someone that is not a self-promoter, that likes to stay under the radar and just do his work. Someone who's a defensive first coach in many ways, who believes in the pillars of consistency and character, all the things that the San Antonio Spurs have represented. As for the players endorsing him, that is wonderful, but don't be mistaken. The word on the street is Ime can be a hard-nosed guy with his players, fair, but can be hard-nosed. And I think that's something the Celtics team could use.
The other thing that I saw people throw out there yesterday, and I don't really know how prevalent this would be, but I guess he's got a pretty good reputation of being a decent recruiter, because a lot of people credit him with LaMarcus Aldridge signing with the Spurs back in 2015. Now, remember, that was when he was only like 30 years old, and he was a pretty big name on the market. And I guess he was the one, it wasn't Popovich, that sealed the deal with him. He like took a flight with him and said, I'm not getting off this plane until you agree to be a member of this, until I've answered every single one of your questions about the San Antonio Spurs.
Wow.
And I guess that's something that's being thrown out there as one of his massive benefits being
here. The movie Speed. I'm not getting off this bus.
Ever?
Never.
I don't think that's how the movie goes.
I would have him take me on a tour like they gave Mark Davis all over San Antonio.
Just put him in a helicopter.
Hot air balloon.
Him around.
Let's see this thing from 2,000 feet.
The other thing that Jackie McMullen observed is that he is reportedly able to connect with, tough to connect with players like James Harden.
They know so much about him. Everyone is very plugged in. He's going to come in and he's going to sucker. Every coach that ever gets hired, including Adam Gase, people sit around and extol the virtues of. Very rarely do you hear, even Adam Gase, they had me fooled. Manish Mehta, who I like, but he was all over how wonderful Adam Gase was and how much Manning vouched for him. I root for the most part garbage teams, and never ever do I recall a coach getting hired that wasn't universally applauded. And
who was the guy who coached for the 49ers for a minute, who farted in his first press conference?
He was living in his car.
Jim Tom Sula.
Yeah, that's right.
Jim Tom Sula showed up and said, I'm just going to fart in my first press conference.
Well, Tom Sula was, he was like showering in the fountain, like out in the park.
Like, Tom Sula was a guy you just looked at and went, oh boy, he's not going to last. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, especially if you're an assistant.
The vast majority.
Jim Tom Sula, tell us, what is it like to be the coach of the 49ers?
This is a really good football team. They're well coached, a lot of talent. Nothing but respect for them.
A lot of examples in football history of good quarterbacks losing their confidence after things are...
Excuse me, that's...
He looks like a guy who farts when he walks. Just like no control back there.
Well, if you get to a certain age, that's what you do.
Well, as we mentioned, two more reasons to like Ime Udoka. First of all, we mentioned Nia Long from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, which we're learning. I guess Nia Long played one of his longtime girlfriends on the show. This is all from listeners. Yeah. I have no idea.
Again, I told Rich off air, I hate that show. I've seen every episode, but I absolutely hate it. But I hate it enough where I have not revisited it. If it's on, I won't watch it. So it's been a while.
Also, Ime is a little something that people might call a badass. There's a story going around that he was involved in what is being called the Nigerian version of Malice at the Palace. According to a description from his teammate at the time, he said, quote, after the game, the Algerian national team? They were waiting for us to come out of the locker room, and seriously, I didn't start it. They said, one of my teammates was in front of our team in an all-out tirade in his best Arabic. The next thing you know, there were these three Algerian players on him. Everyone was engaged in combat. Save me, if you can believe it. And lo and behold, Ime. He was taking people out like in Mortal Kombat. Finish him. Incredible. He said, I was so out of it as I had five guys that I was fighting. Oh, yeah, the crowd jumped in as the fight spilled over to the court on the championship game of Senegal and Angola. He said, in the middle of the whole time, I heard Ime literally in mid-swing of another opponent say, watch your back, Gabe. And he calmly smeared a guy who, as I turned to see his warning, jumped from the stands with a chair to probably kill me or knock me out, or the crowd would have. He said, Ime caught the guy in midair with a fist and calmly continued his dispatching of oncoming people. He and the other guys were whooping so many people that the crowd actually backed up. But Ime had the most notches by far. He said, this guy I thought was a quiet American guy just standing there. And he said, with all this stuff gone, his gym bag, wallet, shoes, and jersey with a stick in his hand that we tore off the walls of the locker room in the middle of North Africa, quite literally with our lives on the line. So all I know is if we're interviewing this guy, that's the first story I ask. Tell me if this is true.
We're going to be there in October. You'll get your chance.
Taking on an entire crowd of Nigerians, apparently, in a fight.
Yeah, he's got to be better than Brad Stevens in an interview.
Well, you see, that's our choice. And we know what Brad Stevens is. Good guy. Also, he's got a relationship with Zolak and Bertrand. Looks like Ime Adoka is going to be our guy now that we no longer have Danny Ainge.
And I hope he's interesting.
I haven't heard him talk, honest.
I just heard everyone jump up and down about how wonderful he is.
Well, that's what happens at the hiring. The main thing I know, Fred, is that he is what they were looking for.
Oh, no. But we saw this from 100 miles away. This I'm not pissed it didn't break on our show. Like, this I'm fine.
And it's better than the crusty runaround of the Mike D'Antonis of the world
weren't going to do that.
Well, I mean, not according to that one dude from Sports Illustrated.
Well, that did cross my mind that guy said that. And again, I'll make my
Jordan
point.
Jordan Schultz was his name.
Jordan Schultz, who I guess listens to the show or probably doesn't, but heard someone told him that we were talking about him. Again, like, why would you even report that? Like, they weren't going to hire him. Like, they were hiring a black guy.
It's better than Rick Carlisle, despite, like, Rick Carlisle's pedigree.
No, they were but, again, I know, but we knew. We knew they were going to hire a black guy, and we knew it was one of five black guys, and this is one of the guys. And they needed to hire a black guy.
Or a black woman.
They needed to hire a black guy. They weren't going to hire the black woman.
Kara Lawson.
There was plenty of... This guy has.
Well, Danny shut down Kara Lawson on our show.
You don't have to go crazy the first time, but they were gonna hire the guy, and he's got the credentials. If you coached under Popovich, you deserve a chance.
Budenholzer, right? Wasn't he one?
Yep,
he was.
There's a lot of hits and misses.
He's got the pedigree, but who the hell knows? Who knows what this guy's gonna be like? And we don't know anything about him. So what are you gonna do? All right, the Bankroll Boys will be next. I'm sure they'll pretend to know all about him and his relationship with refs. But we'll be right back.
Waiting for your electrical supplies during the day or sitting in traffic is for the birds. Use the GCE Night Train from Granite City Electric and get access to over $50 million in local inventory with a free guaranteed overnight delivery of your electrical supplies anywhere in New England. So avoid wasting time waiting in line and sitting in traffic. Order by 5 p.m. and you'll have your materials the next morning by 6 a.m. guaranteed. Visit GCENightTrain.com to get on board the GCE Night Train today. Granite City Electric, proud partner of the Boston Bruins Radio Network.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem?
No match for a little DIY duct tape.
Shoot, hold on. Nope. There we go. No match for a little... dang it, wait. Duct tape and a wrench. Leaks are no match for duct tape than a wrench. And a bucket and a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tool I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
On second thought, maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
And away go troubles down the drain.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.